You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. And come to the site now, you'll see our breakdown of the Raiders depth chart. We're looking at the Dolphins depth chart as well, and our annual quarterback reality rankings for 2019 are out there as well. So check out all that good content. As far as Locked On Fantasy Football goes, the last week we looked at the expert consensus rankings at quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, what we thought about them, who was ranked too high, too low, looking around the league there. We're going to change gears and look team by team now, and we'll break it down this way over the shows this week, catch you up with the latest news coming out of the rookie mini camps and the things that are going on as teams prepare for OTAs, get into OTAs, and really prepare for the meat of the offseason, and some developments that you may have overlooked in the news that have some relevance to fantasy football in your advanced scouting process as we build everything towards your August redraft league event there to build your roster for 2019. So I want to be paying attention now, and this is how we'll do it. We'll break it down into conferences, and we'll go half and half there. We'll do the AFC East and North today. We'll come back with the South and West tomorrow, then do the same thing with the NFC where we go East-North and then Southwest as well. So we'll get you up to date with everything that's going on with these teams and what are the most important takeaways from a fantasy football perspective. So we'll go right down in alphabetical order here, and we'll give these teams some good justice here as we go along so we can really catch you up on what's developing for these rosters and these fantasy football situations. So let's start with the Bills, and the Bills really have come through with their commitment to upgrading their offensive line. When you look at all the moves they made in free agency, added Mitch Morse, added Tyneski, and also Spencer Long, and really have kind of overhauled their entire kind of look at their offense, and then they drafted Cody Ford, of course, so that gives them another option there. So completely different offensive line in front of Allen, but really what you're looking at is a team that's committed still to running the ball, and that's how they want to play it. It is the Sean McDermott Panthers spinoff type team, so the mentality is going to be playing defense, being physical, running the ball. Josh Allen being that quarterback that can make those dynamic plays with his big arm and legs there. So very copycat of what the Carolina Panthers are doing. The line needed a lot of upgrading. You saw that, and they also added a big blocking tight end there, Lee Smith, the former Raider. So it's a team that wants to get down to it. They also added Tyler Kroft, who's a bit of a dual tight end there, who's a decent blocker but can also help stretch the field in the passing game if needed, along with John Brown, and you have Cole Beasley working the slot as well. So trying to become a more complete offense but still run-oriented there. They invested a little bit more at running back, at Devin Singletary, also added Frank Gore. So when you look at it, there's a definite commitment there where the Bills want to focus around the running game. We don't know if LeSean McCoy is going to hold up, and that's why Singletary has so much appeal with Frank Gore next and T.J. Yeldon there as well. So clearly when you add three backs to what McCoy was doing and you switch up your backfield and your plans there up front, I think the Bills are looking at being a run-oriented team as much as possible here in 2019. Take some pressure off Allen, maybe set it up where you have John Brown, like we saw with different guys like Philly Brown and Ted Ginn, being that outside deep threat for Josh Allen, the way that Cam Newton likes to throw the ball as well. So a lot of parallels developing there. They don't have that Christian McCaffrey type back yet, so things are open a little bit for a Yeldon-Singletary kind of combination if McCoy continues to break down. And Frank Gore, we know, is just limited right now at this stage of his career as he continues to pad his stats as a future Hall of Famer. The next team we look at in alphabetical order in the AFC East, Miami Dolphins, it was interesting that they gave a lot of praise to Ryan Fitzpatrick. His latest team here bounces around everywhere, coming off one of his better seasons, toggling in and out of the lineup with Jameis Winston in Tampa. So comes to Miami here, but at the same time, they traded for Josh Rosen, and they kind of said they opened up the competition now. There's not just a given handoff here. They went out and got Rosen. I think it looks very promising for Rosen to win this job, and if it's Patrick, is going to get the first reps here, but there's a good split ahead for them, and we broke this down, if you look at it now, a complete breakdown at sportingnews.com of the Dolphins depth chart, and that's part of coming to play is because they need to know if they need to go back in and get a quarterback in next year's draft, and a lot of people are projecting the Dolphins to have one of the worst records in the league. They're a rebuilding team here, but the one thing that you can expect out of the backs is a lot of versatility. And Kenny and Drake, there was some frustration with the way he used Adam Gase. We know that could come into play here in this offense that has that Patriots feel as well. But Kenny Drake is clearly the most special and trusted back on the roster. Kalen Ballage is very talented as well. But Drake can do a little bit of everything there in a three-down package. And whoever it is, Ryan Fitzpatrick or Josh Rosen, is going to lean heavily on Drake as the safest thing right now, because you have Albert Wilson and Jakeem Grant, two guys that could be little cog players there in this offense, the way we've seen Julian Edelman operate the Patriots offense. The problem is they're both banged up, and right now the starters look like Kenny Stills and Devontae Parker. So when you look at that, Drake is going to be a big chunk of this offense no matter what, who's the quarterback, and that's what it's leaning toward. And they have big plans for Drake, using him all over the field. And I don't think you're going to have the same frustration. I mean, in the end, Drake did produce in the Adam Gase offense, but I think this actually could work out better for him because he does a lot of the things that we know that James White and Rex Burkhead and those type of backs do, but he can also stay on the field like a power back, kind of the way Deion Lewis was needed a couple years ago for the Patriots. So all kind of good things they're developing with what you have in Miami in that situation, as limited as it seems. Now, we move on to the Patriots here, and speaking of the actual Patriots, it's a post-Rob Gronkowski world, and they're not quite sure how this is going to shake out yet. I mean, Josh McDaniels is pretty forthcoming about not knowing exactly where the targets are going to go when you lose a cog guy like Cordarrelle Patterson, and then you move up Chris Hogan, a guy that Brady did rely upon pretty heavily, and Gronkowski. When you switch that up and you bring in a whole bunch of newcomers, there's just a lot of new pieces on the board. We don't know how that goes typically. It's very unpredictable when you get to New England, and if they have a changing supporting cast, we know it's a big change there with N'Keal Harry, the first-round pick, the wide receiver from Arizona State. It is notable, sometimes you look in the way the Patriots present a player, and he came out, there was a big to-do about him walking onto the Gillette Stadium field for the first time there, and a lot of pomp and circumstance about a rookie first-round wide receiver. Typically, you don't get that too much there in New England, but they put Sonny Michel to work as their late first-round pick. Isaiah Wynn, now fully healthy, as another first-rounder for 2018, is going to get his chances there to play with Trent Brown leaving and signing with the Raiders, a good fill-in tackle for them. So a lot of things developing. The Patriots simply are just trying to kind of shuffle their chess pieces. The one guy you know that's going to be busy and key to their offense is Julian Edelman in terms of the passing game. James White next there is the two reliable targets. And Michelle, kind of not sure about that even either with Damien Harris, the rookie from Alabama, potential first-rounder, I thought, in the draft that they got later. So all kinds of things in flux with the Patriots. The bottom line is we don't have answers necessarily how things are going to spread out between all the newcomers, including Matt LaCloss and Austin Seferian Jenkins at tight end. And it's still much to be determined, and the Patriots are sometimes hard to figure out, even when you get into the training camp and preseason. You got to see a little bit more, and of course, there's also Josh Gordon and his situation, and he could be coming back in this mix as well. Well, we will continue to talk about the rest of the AFC East and dive into the AFC North in a bit, but first, time to talk a little bit about sex. That's right, guys. Good sex. Remember the days when you were always ready to go? Well, now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. It's easy. It's BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know that they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. And now, this is not just for guys who can't perform. It's any guy who wants extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. And the best thing about Blue Chew, it's prescribed online, shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. And Blue Chew, made in the USA and prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. And right now, it gets even better. As a listener to Lockdown Fantasy Football, you can visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use the special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, it's BlueChew.com, BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try for free. BlueChew is the better, cheaper, and faster choice out there, and we thank them for sponsoring Lockdown Fantasy Football. We'll be right back here to start to look at the Jets and their latest news and notes and their new offense. All right, we know there's a lot of changes with this particular team in the division as we close our look at the latest news and notes of the AFC East. The New York Jets, Adam Gase, the big change over the top, and things are all over the board there and how we think this team will flow. Looking at Robbie Anderson and Quincy Enunwa and Chris Herndon, these are the primary guys that there's a connection with Sam Darnold there. So those are holdovers there. But you throw in Le'Veon Bell in this mix, Jamison Crowder in the slot, and then Trayvon Wesco, the rookie out of West Virginia, the tight end, giving them a little bit more blocking presence. So Adam Gase, we know, is a bit unpredictable himself. We saw that. There was some frustration with Kenny Drake. But with the Jets, I think things are a little bit more linear and defined for a change. Robbie Anderson is your deep threat outside. Quincy Enunwa is your big kind of possession receiver on the outside. Crowder, Jamison is pretty much the guy that you're going to look at the slot straight up. So you're not going to have maybe Quincy Enunwa working the big slot like he has in the past. He's going to be that basic outside guy target that they can look to on the outside near the red zone. And well, Anderson's the field stretcher. So pretty traditional there with the roles that we've seen in Adam Gase's offense. And I think another thing that you look at is Le'Veon Bell. There's no question that he's going to be the guy that touches the ball most here. It's not going to be all of a sudden toggle to Eli McGuire in this situation. It's going to be a lot of Le'Veon Bell, where McGuire is the clear-cut backup. So a lot of good definition on a team that has a lot of offensive upside. So all this boosts Sam Darnold and maybe being a later round sleeper. We talked about him as a QB2 to watch with a bullet, and a guy that you can mix with another quarterback and get a good streaming situation there. So things to definitely watch with the Jets overall. And it's just a good team that we like to examine in fantasy, where things are pretty clear-cut in terms of how roles should play out on a team, and that's what we're seeing. And the fact that they're going straight up with Wesco as the blocking tight end to complement Herndon, that kind of falls perfectly in line with that. Now let's move on to the AFC North here, and you look at this situation, the backfield. We want to know what's going to go on here. Mark Ingram was signed there away from the Saints. They drafted Justice Hill. They've already signed him to a deal. Gus Edwards was kind of the fantasy league winner for many as the power back that got a high volume down the stretch last year playing with Lamar Jackson. So overall, you look at that and say that Kenneth Dixon might be in trouble here. I think the key for Dixon and his job is that the other guys can't show as much versatility, but we know Mark Ingram can catch passes if needed. He didn't do it as much with Alvin Kamara there in New Orleans, but he's not incapable of being a productive receiver. And Justice Hill has a little bit of juice in his game as well. Edwards might be the guy that they don't use as much, kind of the redundancy with the Ingram power running, and Hill is a pretty tough runner in his own right. So Dixon could be expendable, while Edwards could be that backup goal line type back if needed, swing backup type that we've seen there. But really, Dixon, they really liked him last year in the end. He's been through a lot, some major injuries, some suspension issues there. But the Ravens have stuck by him quite a lot here. But this Hill drafting kind of changes things up, so we'll watch that very carefully. But right now, things are just looking good here for Mark Ingram to carry the ball at a high rate for the Ravens. We go to our next team in the division, Cincinnati, and some developments early out of Cincinnati is that Zach Taylor, the influence is already there. Now, it's always good to have a parallel. We talked about having the parallel for Adam Gase with the Jets versus the Dolphins. Well, you have something laid out here for the Bengals with Zach Taylor taking over and bringing Sean McVay's offensive thoughts here. And they drafted a tight end, Drew Sample, and keep in mind they did keep C.J. Uzomah, did not keep Tyler Kroft, so they needed a second tight end there, but maybe a little bit more defined here that Tyler Eifert, if you will, is the Gerald Everett of this offense, and Drew Sample is more the Tyler Higbee. And then if you parallel that, then you start looking at A.J. Green and Tyler Boyd, and who was the key receiver for the Rams and kind of made things tick a lot. It was Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp more so than the regular big play threat of Brandon Cooks. And Green is slowing down a little bit. We know that. He's coming off a toe injury. It looks like he's looking better here. But this tells you Tyler Boyd is going to be a pretty big part of the offense. And as much as we're excited about Eifert being healthy and having a chance to be more of a move tight end in that Gerald Everett lane, we also know that Gerald Everett had limited returns there for the Rams. So keep that in mind. It's still going to be more about the receivers here. Eifert is a guy that they could work in a little bit more because after Green and Boyd, not as much to trust in this offense consistently. So all things to consider there, but Eifert off to a good start in this offense. Green on the way back. Boyd pretty established, and it's a good coaching move for him coming off his breakout season and very pleasing fantasy season overall. I think it's a good move, and we've seen that early. And I think Joe Mixon will also benefit from the knowledge that Zach Taylor had with Todd Gurley. So good influence so far, and we're seeing that so far in the Bengals' offseason program. Now, the Browns' offseason, the biggest news or non-news, so to speak, is Odell Beckham Jr. He shows up here at OTAs. So does Duke Johnson. That, I think, is the bigger surprise, that Duke Johnson's still part of this team. And we know that there are a lot of mouths to feed. Nick Chubb just had an outstanding season as the lead back here. They have the wild card in Kareem Hunt. It looks less and less that he's going to be available anytime soon here. So they kind of maybe need Duke Johnson and a guy that is versatile and that can do a little bit more than just catch passes here. And that's probably why they need him more than you think with Kareem Hunt and things just being so in flux and need maybe a little bit more support at running back just in case anything happens to Chubb. And they did use Chubb a little bit in the passing game, but he's not necessarily his strength. He could get better in that capacity, but that's maybe why they're keeping around Duke Johnson. It's a hard guy to move as well because he's a running back and kind of a special type running back, and they paid him. So there's all those concerns there and why they can't move him. But if he's around, you can bet they're going to find a better way to use him after a disappointing season there with Freddie Kitchens. This is a guy that worked with Bruce Arians and got a lot out of David Johnson there. So you know there is a way to get a back involved. It's just that you have a lot of mouths to feed with Odell Beckham Jr. there, Jarvis Landry, David Njoku. Don't forget about Rashad Higgins and Antonio Callaway. So a lot of guys to feed, and that's where kind of Duke Johnson's role is superfluous. And he might end up just being the best backup option to Nick Chubb if he stays in Cleveland here this season. We'll be right back to finish up with the Steelers, but first, make sure you're checking us out while you're traveling in your car. Yep, that's right. Locked On podcasts here are perfect for your commute, whether it's the morning or going from point A to point B in the middle of the day. We're compact, bite-sized analysis and nuggets you need to listen to when you're on the go. So check us out. Smart speakers make it easier than ever. Translate your listening at home to listening in the car, and it's a great way to take in all the great shows on the Locked On Network. Be right back here to finish with a look at the Steelers' latest news and notes. All right, we'll save the most interesting team for last year. It just worked out that way as we close out our look at the latest news and notes from the AFC East and AFC North. If we go down to alphabetical order, the team that's left is Pittsburgh here in this grouping, and we know what we're focusing on, Pittsburgh. Juju Smith-Schuster, we talked about him in the rankings. People are just going nuts over where he might be drafted. People are taking him as really high, wide receiver 6 to anywhere down to wide receiver 12. There's not much lower than that for Juju Smith-Schuster. Everyone thinks he's going to have a monster year here as the number one, and part of it is because Big Ben needs to get some trust here as Ben Roethlisberger. We know he chewed out James Washington a lot last year. You have Dante Moncrief in the mix as well. Looking at Johnny Holton that the Steelers also signed, a guy, I remember, a few flash plays for the Raiders as a speedy guy. And they have Deontay Johnson, the rookie that they drafted, a very Antonio Brown and Emmanuel Sanders-like clone there that he's already signed to a deal. So I think this is going to be a wide-open competition because Ben Roethlisberger, I think you right now you'd say the guy he trusts most after Juju Smith-Schuster, I think maybe it's a 1A and 1B, is Vance McDonald after a couple years in the offense and no Jesse James there. And then I'd say James Conner, of course, with his ability to be an outlet there. And Roethlisberger, some change on the offensive line, especially at right tackle. So things to look at there that see the pecking order of these wide receivers, and I think it's still in flux. I think James Washington is the guy they want to win the job. I think Deontay Johnson is the guy they look into the future, maybe being what Brown and Sanders was, but we know that took a year getting his feet wet in a different area, possibly, before he can have an impact. And Dante Moncrief flashed a little bit with the Colts. We were really high on him doing a lot opposite T.Y. Hilton. That didn't pan out. He went to the Jaguars and kind of got lost in that crazy wide receiver core. So it's going to be a battle that we're going to watch, but knowing the Steelers, they're not going to lock in any one of these guys. They want Washington, Johnson, or Moncrief to outright win that job. And now the next level after that that we look at, and there'll be a Steelers depth chart breakdown you can check out on Sporting News as well. The thing to really focus in on is how big of a target this number two wide receiver now, with Juju being the new number one, replacing Brown, how big of a role will they have in the passing game? I just mentioned that there's Smith-Schuster and McDonald and Connor, and I think that's how things might play out. So that's why we're a bit high on McDonald in the tight end rankings, but we could easily get some more clarity here. I think right now I would say James Washington is the guy that is most likely going to win. He's got the most familiarity here. Moncrief and Johnson, both newcomers working with Big Ben. And Washington maybe built on his rookie season out of Oklahoma State last year and everything he learned there while having a lesser role that he can apply and be a bigger play threat for the Steelers. So there you have it. There's a look at your latest news and notes in the AFC East and AFC North. We'll come back with the AFC South and AFC West notes and close out doing the same with the NFC this week. So thanks so much for listening to Lockdown Fantasy Football. This has been Vinny Iyer. We'll see you next time.